The Lord be with you.
Pastor Wendt is out of town. He was called away for an emergency funeral up in Ohio. So I am Pastor Stanky. I used to work here, and I'm glad to be back with you this evening and tomorrow morning. Did ask me to make a couple of announcements. There is a rummage sale that is coming up this fall. Bring your gently used clean items to the large shed on the hill. There will be an adult Bible study starting next week. There will be none tomorrow. Pastor Arndt will be leading it. Ladies Guild meets on September 5th. Still need volunteers. I could have done this 30 years ago. We still need volunteers for openings on boards and committees. And Helena Trankner will be celebrating her 100th birthday on September 8th. And there is an address posted in Narthex 2. If you want to send a card. Do we have any first-time visitors with us this evening? If we do, say hi. If not, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, this is the day that the Lord has made. From the rising of the sun to its setting, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Make me to know your paths, O Lord. Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us together acknowledge that we have turned away from our faithful God. None of us is good, not even one. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, let us come before our Father in heaven in repentance and faith, seeking his pardon and restoration for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with a moment of silence. Almighty God, you who are gracious and merciful, because of God's mercy and grace, salvation has come to you. You are forgiven in your Father's eyes, washed spotless by the washing of water with the Word. You are united to Christ, so rejoice and be glad. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and merciful God, defend your church from all false teaching and error, that your faithful people may confess you to be the only true God and rejoice in your good gifts of life and salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forgiven forever. Amen. You are invited to share the peace of the Lord with one another.
Readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah, the 29th chapter. The Lord will again do wonderful things with his people. And the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? or the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding. It is not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Ephesians, starting at the fifth chapter. Christ the bridegroom makes the church his bride and gives himself up for her. St. Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the seventh chapter of St. Mark. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus, and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do. This is the gospel of the Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. we join in confessing or stating God's Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I served in Pittsburgh from 1980 to 1997. And it was a nice parish. It's still going strong. Now, I did get to meet some of the Catholic priests in that area in that time. And it was quite surprising to me when I read over the list of priests who have been involved in this scandal in the Catholic Church to read about John Crowley, who has died in 2006. And I knew Father Crowley on a couple of different occasions. We did a wedding together at Concordia in Brentwood, and for some reason we did a funeral together. I don't remember why. And I knew some of the people who went to his parish. Now, Father Crowley was a big man. He was bigger than me. And he was an expansive man. He was a take charge kind of guy. He was going to run things his way. I don't care if we're in your church. We're doing it my way. Or we would at least try to. And it was somewhat of a conflict between he and I at those occasions when we met about who was top dog. And I never really disliked him, never particularly was fond of him, but you always knew there was going to be that push. But I will tell you one thing, and the fact that he was in the process of molesting little boys or little girls, I don't have the details, was off the radar. I mean, it just wasn't there. Women? Money? Power? Oh, yeah. He was in all those things. But not kids. So when this scandal hit, or continues to hit, or keeps on going, you start hearing and reading about all the things they say could have been done to prevent this horrendous evil. And a couple of the things that are actually kind of funny, one of them is, well, if priests were allowed to get married, that would have solved the whole problem. And maybe it would have, because if priests were allowed to get married, they would know who really runs the house, which is not the priest, but his wife. And that would change the dynamics of what was going on. But it wouldn't change the fact that this horrendous event had to do with power. Had to do with priests who had a chance and an opportunity to use their stoles, their robes, to use all the mechanics, all the stuff that goes into being a priest, all the honor that people, and believe me, a priest was honored in Pittsburgh. I wore my collar a lot, and all kids had to see you coming with your collar on, and they'd stop and say, "Oh, Father, I'm sorry, we didn't do it." And I said, "That's fine, just go in peace. Stop fighting." That was 20 years ago. It really worked. But that's what happened. He had the words. He didn't have the song. His words spoke the ritual. His heart, at least as far as I know, was far from God. But it wasn't primarily about homosexuality, and it wasn't primarily about not being married. It was primarily because, well, he could do it. And he did. And he had a thriving parish. Holy Angels Parish, it was down there in one of the poorer parts of Pittsburgh, was a thriving place. People would come there if they had a problem, if they wanted some money, if they needed some help, if they wanted to have a child baptized, and they were having problems with their own priest, or they wanted to have a wedding that was a little bit off the charts. Hey, Father Crowley would do it. And the bishops let them alone because nobody messed with Holy Angels Parish. He had the words. He didn't have the song. That's what Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees. If you remember what the Pharisees were, a lot of times we think that the Pharisees were the bad guys in the New Testament. Well, they really weren't. They were the people in the New Testament, they are, but in Judaism, they weren't. They were the people. They were the scholars. They were the ones who helped people follow God's law. If you wanted to follow God's law, you would follow what the Pharisees said to do. And so the Pharisees asked Jesus, why don't your disciples wash? And people say, well, of course, for cleanliness, you ought to wash your hands. And the answer is that has nothing to do with cleanliness. It has everything doing with being defiled, and you don't want to defile the food. And so you wash, and you wash the cups, and you wash that. And I'm not sure of all the reasons for that, but I know that that's really what the Pharisees were trying to help people do. They were trying to help them be the best Jews that God could help them be. And they were very good at it. And they were popular because they were getting involved in people's lives. Frida and I, that's my wife, Frida and I had the chance to meet an Orthodox Jewess one time. And she invited us to her home. And we were eating. And Frida took a knife and dipped it in the mustard to spread it on the meat. And it wasn't even a Chicago hot dog, Larry. Shoshana grabbed the knife, picked it up, went over to the sink, washed the knife off, and said a prayer over it. And we was like, okay, what's that about? Well, because somehow, and I still to this day don't, and I spent some time trying to figure out why, putting the mustard on the meat was breaking kosher. Sorry, if you ask me why that is, I don't know. I know that it was. And her life was not run by, but she was wanted to do what God wanted her to do. And so she washed the knife. And then we came back and we made sure that we didn't use anything on the mustard that would have touched the meat. So we were good. We were respecting her traditions. Because she had learned what it meant to be a Jew. She came to it later on in life. She had left Christianity and she became a Jew because there was much joy and fulfillment in living that way of life. And she was very devout Jewess and a very nice lady, and I wish you could all meet her at some point. Now that's what the Pharisees were supposed to be helping people do. They were supposed to be helping them live the way that God wants a Jew to live. It doesn't apply to Gentiles, it applies to Jews. So why did Jesus get mad at them? Because the Pharisees were sitting there saying, we're going to go through the rituals, we're going to wash the knife, we're going to wash the cups, we're going to wash our hands, we're going to be very pure, and we're going to do all the right things for the show, and so that we can hold up before God the wonderful things that we do. Look how we fulfill the ritual, look how we fulfill the right things, look at all that wonderful stuff that goes on. And Jesus said, Isaiah was talking about you, when he said, you're going through the motions, but your heart is far from me. And I'm going to tell you how you're doing that. You take some of your money. The Bible says, God says, God says you're supposed to honor your father and your mother. They didn't have nursing homes. They didn't have wonderful retirement plans. So when you got rich and your parents were getting old and frail, you were supposed to use some of your resources to help your parents. The Pharisees said, oh no, that's set apart for God. That's Corban. That's his response. That's God's thing. I don't have anything that I can give you. And so Jesus says, what you're doing is setting aside the commandments of God, honor your father and mother, for the commandments of men, that you can dedicate this money to God and not use it for your parents. That's what go under the law on the priesthood. You had young men, young women, who were coming in, honoring the priest, honoring the church, respecting the clergy, and all of a sudden they're involved in these evil, egregious things. And then the priests will go off and celebrate Mass. You have the words, you don't have the song. You've got the ritual, but your heart, your being, yourself is far from me. We have a lot of political people who do the same thing. We have church council people who do the same thing. We have Sunday school teachers. Not that they're all involved in abuse, but they are involved in saying we're going to go to church, we're going to do the right thing, but then when we go off and make our deals, we're going to make them with no regard to God's commandments, God's love, God's concern. We're going to forget about what we do on Sunday morning or Saturday night when we go off into the world on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. And we start living according to our own set of rules and our own set of responsibilities and our own way of, well, in the real world, this is what happens. And Jesus said, no. If you're acting like that, your heart is far from me. Your heart is far from my Father. And remember, when we're talking about commandments of God, are things that God has commanded. God has not commanded you not to have a beer. That's not in the book anyplace. Or a glass of wine. God has not commanded you not to be angry. But he did say, don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you were paying attention when Loretta was reading St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, lots of people like to pick up on that first part. Wives, honor your husbands. They forget about the second part. Husbands, love your wife. Do you know that's the first time in the Bible that husbands are ever told to love your wives? It's a commandment of God to love your wife. It's not if you feel emotional, if you feel connected, if you want to put warm fuzzies and you want to have little unicorns and rainbows. It's a commandment of God to love your wife. That's why when I was doing pre-marriage counseling, we'd have the woman read the part about honoring your husband, the husband read the part about loving your wife. And make sure you follow that commandment. That's more important than your feelings. That's more important than what you think you ought to do. That's more important than going through a ritual. That's what God says you do. You love this person that God has given you. That's what God says you do in the church. You are refueled for the battle. Your sins are forgiven so that you can forgive somebody else. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross. Because he had people against him who were both from the religious community and the political community, and they were both coming together and saying, we got to get this guy out of here because he's not asking for actions, which is all the government can ever talk about. He's asking for your heart. He wants you. He wants you to be connected. He wants you to live with the Father. He wants you to live your whole life. And whatever rituals you do to help you do that, and you will have rituals that you do, whether it's daily devotions or whatever you do, that is the case, to strengthen and continue that bond between you and the Father through the gift of Jesus Christ on the cross, through the gift of his meal of Holy Communion, to understanding it's not just for show. It's the real thing. Sing the words. Know the tune. Play the melody. Let God continue to draw you into his life and into his family. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we will receive your offering for the work of the Lord here and throughout the world. In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the gift of divine peace and a pardon. With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord for those who labor for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For guests in worship today, that Christ bless their lives in the hearing of the word with faith, in understanding and joy, let us pray to the Lord. For those who continue to bring the light of Christ into places of darkness, calling people to repentance and teaching Jesus Christ and his saving love, let us pray to the Lord. For the world around us, for nations in conflict, for those who are victims of hate and violence, and for good and faithful leaders to guide the nations and the people in paths of justice, goodness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. For all the sick, those who suffer, the grieving in their loss, the dying in their last days, and those whom we name before the Lord in our hearts now, that they may know healing, comfort, and peace according to God's gracious will, let us pray to the Lord. For our own lives, that we may show forth Christ's light in faithful words of witness and show forth his love in faithful acts of love and mercy to our neighbor, let us pray to the Lord. For wisdom and discernment, that the fading glory of this world may neither tempt nor deceive us from the true glory of Christ crucified and risen, let us pray to the Lord. For our communion this night of Christ's body and blood, that we receive him with faith, and for our unity of faith and life together as a family of believers, let us pray to the Lord. Fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, and graciousness, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, as you give us your body and blood to eat and drink, may we now always remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, your coming for the final judgment. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us pray together. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night, for into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord.